Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Swing and a drive. Brian McCann ambushes an Arrieta pitch into the second deck along solo homer. It's 2-0. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. Good morning, Georgia.
Morning.
That, of course, Brian McCann doing his bit to help the Braves get that victory last night. 9-2 over Philadelphia, but a bittersweet victory. Nick Markakis gets tagged on the wrist, on his left wrist of all hands.
Whoa.
Right? He couldn't get it on the right side. Gets it on the left one. And left the game, and x-rays are going to happen later today, and we're going to find out how long he's going to be out, but he's going to be out.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
That's a guy who's going to be missed on and off the field. Now, mind you, when he's rehabbing, maybe he will still be, you know, in the dugout. He'll be in the locker room.
Oh, yeah, he'll be around.
Helping out.
He'll be around. He'll still be around it. But you know where you rather see him.
Yeah, out there and right. But Ciardi came back at the right time, didn't he?
Yeah.
Yeah, he did.
Yeah, he's back. And just the way the Braves bench has been playing, you know, if something happens, you can go down the bench with confidence and giving someone a chance to go out and plug them in and know you're still going to get some positive results. And I think that's the thing, that's the test of a baseball team. During the course of a season, those situations are going to come along, and I think the Braves are ready for that. Yes, we'd rather have, you know, Markakis there because that's who we're familiar with and we know what we're going to get night in and night out. But the strength of this team, one of the strengths is the bench. And so, you know, we feel like, you know, things will continue to move in a positive direction.
We heard Brian McCann's home run. We had talked about a few weeks ago that he arguably could be considered the MVP on this team with his leadership and things like that. You could say the same thing about Nick Markakis, too. I mean, he may not be the best player on the team. We know that. But what they bring to that locker room is was it Terry Pendleton who got that MVP when he was with the Braves because of more of what he did in the locker room and on the bench? Didn't Terry Pendleton he was MVP, wasn't he?
He was, but I don't think he won it.
I could have swore it was more for the leadership that he brought than it was
his
game.
Well, he was definitely that now. Yeah. He was definitely the guy that brought the leader and was that clubhouse voice. And he would do that for sure.
Well, anyway, we'll get back to the Braves in a little bit. We're going to talk to Corey McCartney from FNN Sports about this and how long he thinks Markakis may be out. But locally, there's some things going on, man. You want to give us an update on? Yeah, you got to turn that out.
Yeah, thanks. just a few things.
Man, I missed you all week long.
Why is that?
I talking about you down there in Sarasota.
Why is that?
I needed you when I was coming back up here, by the way. I want to say shout out to Tiff County. Hey,
We're going to get in that.
Yeah, hey, you so-and-so's down there. I'll tell you what this cop did.
We want to thank Coach Adam Clack for coming on to talk about Milton playing against Buford Corkakel kickoff classic. Just remember the games that we're going to be carrying for you. First of all, the games on Friday, August. Things started on Thursday up at Rome High School, Richland against Calhoun. That's a 5:30 game. Rome and Marietta play the 8:30 game. Those are games up in Rome on that Thursday, the 22nd. Friday the 23rd at Cool Ray Field. Up in Gwinnett County, you're going to have a 5:30 game, Archer against Tucker.
Bring your mitts.
The 8:30 game, yeah, Buford against Milton. Those games will be downstairs and around the corner on our cousin station, 1380 WAOK. And then games on Saturday will be here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. The 9 a.m. game,
Biscuits and Gravy game.
That will be Kale against Mays.
We've named it that, and we need you guys to help us perpetuate that.
Yes, yes, Biscuits and Gravy at 9 o'clock. 11:45 game will be Norcross versus Walton. 2:45, North Gwinnett and Colquitt County. 5:45, Brookwood against McEachern. And at 8:45.
Shout out, Lost Mountain!
See you say that. And Mill Creek against East Coweta. Now, a lot of these programs we just mentioned got new coaches this year. New Colquitt, new McEachern, new Mill Creek. So that is the Metro PCS Cookie Kale kickoff lineup for this year. Now,
where did Coach Hockman go from
He went McEachern? He's down in South Georgia. He's in Effingham, County. I think he's coaching down in Effingham County. You mentioned where you were, and there's a story that goes along with where you were.
I'm coming back from seeing Pops, driving up 75. I'm not doing any kind of Earnhardt-like speed, but I'm going with the flow. And at this particular time when I'm going through Tift County, and I know that you make your you pass cars in the left, but then you get back over to the center lane or the far right lane. And that's usually where I do most of my damage when I'm coming up.
Yeah.
But just for whatever reason, I'm in the third lane, and there's like three of us hauling up 75. And when I say hauling, I mean around 80. So we're not like crazy in the 90s or nothing like that. And, man, I saw him. I saw him. We were coming to an overpass, and I saw the cop at the overpass, and I went, oh, man, I'm in the wrong lane for this dude. Anyway, sure, as soon as we went, the three cars, we went under the underpass. I saw the lights go on. He comes down the ramp and comes right at me.
Whoa.
Pulled me over. So I got the ticket. But here's the thing. I asked him, why you pick me? Why there's three of us going, we're all like, it's like three across. I felt like doing boogity, boogity, boogity. That's what I felt like saying. And he goes, I have a laser light, and I usually keep it on that far left lane because that's usually where the fast cars are going. And even though y'all were going the same, I got you. I had to shut up because he gave me an honest answer, and I was like, okay.
That was the answer.
And I ain't about to sit down there and argue with nobody in Tifton, Georgia.
No. And by the way,
when he got to the car, I went, excuse me, may I reach in my bag to get my license? And he says, go ahead. I'm not about to just make any moves.
So. But here's the thing. You mentioned Tift County.
Yes.
And this week, I don't know how many people pay on Twitter and follow Twitter like I do, but Frank Sulkowski, you got to know, who was a buddy of mine, does sports down in Savannah, posted a picture on his Twitter feed of a billboard in Tift County. Okay. And this billboard had a picture of someone that we're very familiar with.
I know you're going to say. Go ahead.
And it says, hire Rush Propes to be Tift County football coach. Now, Tift County is almost a stone's throw away from Colquitt.
Right.
And they're in the same region.
For the people who don't know who that is and where he was before
Coach Rush Propes was the coach at Colquitt County High School.
I mean, he was an institute. He was like Bobby Bowden in Florida State, right?
There and then over at Hoover, Alabama. And he was dismissed from the job there earlier this year in a cloud of controversy down in that community.
Headbutting people with their helmets on.
But that's very successful coach, though, wins a lot of games. That's what part of his reputation. There's some other things that have come along with him. And so this billboard was up in Tift County. Someone spent money for this billboard to go up, and enough people made a fuss about it on social media that the next day there's a picture on his website of it coming down.
Now, what's the problem with that? No, I mean, I get it, but they put it up and they're trying to recruit him. Was it a recruiting issue, or it was just a slap to his old program? And listen, if you want him, do what you can to get him there. We see that going on with LeBron, or before LeBron signed with LA.
Yeah, but
we saw that all around.
These are people right up the road from you. These are people you're going to be facing. These are your region rival. And I think, somebody wanted to poke the bear.
Yeah.
Somebody just wanted to see how people would react to it. Because a lot of people were asking him on social media, says, is that for real? We think that picture's photoshopped. Nobody really want that, but they have enlisted his. He's won a national championship and seven state championships, and what he's done, and how many players have received scholarship. They had it all listed on this billboard for Coach Propes, but apparently that's not happening. As that billboard has now come down, and as this football season gets started to get ready, he will be on the sidelines. For now, it seems he will be on the
sidelines. Not literally.
Well, no,
he could be up in the broadcast booth.
Well, no, he just
what if he were to call games? I know you've done some GPB games. If you were to come up here and be a commentator, being an analyst with his personality. Now, I've not spoken to him. You've spoken to him. Would he be good on TV?
He's great TV. He probably would rather be coaching, though.
Well, yeah, of course, but he ain't. Would he be good TV? That's how you get your next coaching job. We all know that. You go on TV for a season, boom, you're back.
Yeah.
Take a page from Urban Meyer. And many others.
Wow. You want to put him in that
category. Actually, I didn't think about that, but that ain't far from it, is it?
You know. So that's just what we have been hearing about and thinking about during the course of this week, as a lot of the high school teams have now started their practices You know,
you got me thinking about something else too. When you get to the level of Coach Probst and there's others, I don't know who those guys are that are at his level high school wise, but and there's something to be said for, you know, not moving out of the neighborhood and being comfortable where you are. But why doesn't guys like that make that leap? Is it his age? Is it you don't think they want him up there at college?
At this stage, probably is age. You know, he's probably had an opportunity for that probably after his time at Hoover. You know, Alabama, he's probably at an age where he could have gone coach collegiately if he really wanted to. But he found a spot to land in South Georgia and had done very well there. But it fell out of favor with some people in position to make decisions. And so now he's out.
All right, coming up in this next segment, we're going to talk more Braves. We're going to talk to Corey McCartney from FSN, and obviously we're going to ask him about Markakis and his thoughts.
But also, we're getting closer and closer to the trade deadline.
Yeah,
and are we going to do something?
Unless you tell me we got a chance at Madison Bumgarner, I don't want to mess with anybody else on this team.
Well, we'll
that's the only
about
dude
that
I want.
Because here's the thing: some of the guys who are down your bench, some of your bench strength. Now you're going to have to put them out there for people to see.
I understand that.
With Markakis out there, so that this could up your ante for a trade. Somebody could see somebody out there and say, hey, you know, you throw that person in on the deal. And some of your young talent, some of your young pitching talent you have on the farm, maybe we'll go dealing with you.
That's the guy I want. I don't want to hear about nobody else. That's just me. I want Baumgartner or nothing. You know, I don't – in Kansas, we ain't getting them. And that's fine, you know. But I just –
I kind of like
San Francisco may be in the wild card race, but they ain't gonna make any noise.
I kind of like the idea.
They're gonna go for some picks and try and.
I like the idea of Stroman myself, when he's coming from the Blue Jays.
We'll see. We'll see. All right, listen. Before we get Corey on here, can I tell you something
that
happened this past week?
Go ahead.
With my father, and this is one of those things that you and I hope, and everybody out there hopes they have, and you know, you talk about people at that age, and his memory. Is crazy sharp.
Wow.
So I was messing with him. And I said to him, because we were watching something on TV, I forgot what it was, and it was a great player, and he was getting ready to retire, and I said, well, you don't want to be the guy who follows him, because you never want to be the man who follows the man. And we got to talking about that, and I said, the only person I can think of that followed an icon, if you will, and still had success was one person, and that was Steve Young.
Okay.
Because right? I said, you know who Neil Anderson is? And he goes, no. I said, yeah, because he was a dude who followed Walter Payton. All right? And I named a couple others.
Yeah.
And so he sat there for a minute, and we went back and forth with this. And he could, you know, I said, Steve Young is the only one I can think of that had success, Hall of Fame success, after following a Hall of Famer.
Yeah, that's a couple folks.
All right, well, give me one. But this is what he said.
I can give you Leroy Kelly with the Browns.
See, there you go. You're not going to really put Leroy Kelly up Jim Brown.
He made the Hall of Fame.
He did not make anybody forget about Jim Brown.
No, they make him forget about him.
And Jim Brown was not just a Hall of Famer. Jim Brown was special. Well,
I understand that, but I'm just saying he wasn't Neil Anderson to Walter Payton.
But you know what the old man said to me?
He made to the Hall of Fame.
While we're doing, we were going to debate like you and I are doing right now.
Yeah.
He shut it right down for me. Like, he goes, yeah, I know somebody. I go, who? He goes, that guy named Mickey Mantle. And I like, holy crap. Mickey Mantle followed Joe DiMaggio, right? So I didn't think about that. But again, that's his generation.
That's Pops. Pops, yeah, I got you. <He's> like,
I believe Marv Albert called that a facial. he gave it right to me.
Yikes.
All right, what are we going to do here, man? We lose Markakis. I mean, listen, we still got a first-place team, and we talked about the advantage of having a big lead and any kind of hiccups or any kind of adjustments that are being made or guys get nicked up. This is the time to have it happen. We're going to find out how long Corey thinks Mr. Markakis is going to be out. That's up next. We're going to talk Braves. Sam and Greg, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com.
Swing and a shot down the right field line. That's going to get down. Harper has to chase that to the warning track. That's up against the wall. Look at Acuna flying. They're going to send it. Here comes the relay. It is up the line. Acuna on his way to third. He'll be tagged out as Ozzie is the second out of the inning. But Acuna scores to make it a four-run frame. It's 5-0.
Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game, 92.9 The Game. .com. And if you ain't seen that replay and you want somebody who get an impression of Michael Johnson coming around the bases,
wrong.
That was Acuna. When that particular play hit, Albies was out at third, yeah. But, man, I haven't seen him run that fast since he was on the team.
He can run. He can run.
We know he can run.
He's up to 23 stolen bases. That's kind of neat.
But
we have stolen bases here in Atlanta. I think since Rafael Falcao.
He might be my favorite Braves player now to hit a triple. Watching hit a triple or go.
Oh, man. That'd be fun.
That hair, but it's the whole package.
Oh, yeah, now.
It ain't just, you know, the speed, but it's the helmet flying off and you know, the twist flying everywhere.
Yeah, it's everything that comes with it.
This is one of those times where we should actually insert a famous phrase said by Hank Aaron.
That.
Hank Aaron has been noted to say that when compared to Willie Mays back in the day, that he could do everything that Willie Mays did, except my hat didn't fall off.
Yeah.
That's what Hank used to say. Anyway, let's continue talking some baseball with Corey McCartney, FSN. Corey, how are you this morning?
Good. And that helmet flying off stuff is permeated to little leagues all around Atlanta. I will tell you firsthand that those boys are trying to make those hats fly off, even if they got to smack them while they're running around the base path.
So. See, now that if they knock it off, that don't count.
Yeah, man.
That's like Emmitt Smith when he used to take his helmet off. That don't count.
But if it's laying in the base pass and they're standing on the next base, they got their job done.
Corey, let's start off with the bittersweet news we got last night. Yeah, the Braves got the victory 9-2 over Philadelphia, but Nick Markakis gets tagged on the left wrist and left the field with a splint on. How long do you think he's going to be out?
You know, it's tough to say. I mean, certainly, you know, you know there's going to be a DL stint of some sort. And, you know, Freddie Freeman talked about it after last night's game. You know, he missed 7 weeks, with a similar injury. And, you know, you use that 60-day DL, you think maybe you get him back at some point in September. All the comments last night did not lead you to believe that the news we get today is going to be good. Now, the one thing you can say is this team has depth. And, you know, you think about guys on the roster now, Matt Joyce, Charlie Culberson, even Adam Duvall, you know, has set a Gwinnett single-season home run record at this point. But at the same time, losing Nick Markakis, it would be a substantial blow to this team. At least it's happening before the July 31st deadline, because if it happens after that, it's a completely different animal. But yeah, this could be a substantial blow to this team without question.
Spending time on the waitfor.com outline this morning with Corey McCartney, you know, from Chopcast Live, joining us now to talk some Braves baseball. Okay, does this weigh into the decision for any roster moves or trades that are made before the deadline now?
I think it's all about the price. You know, I mean, certainly Markakis is a guy who is on a one-year contract, but you got to also remember Dansby Swanson, so he could be potentially headed to the DL. We'll find that out today, too, with his heel injury. I think one of the things that they've considered is package deals, and I think there's a lot of those out there if you're looking whether or not you can add a reliever like Alex Anthopoulos has stated, and I know has been a big push for them. Can you get an additional piece for the bench that direction? I mean, teams like the Tigers with Nick Castellanos, and they have, you know, Shane Green, a high-end reliever. So there are opportunities there to go out and add somebody. But I think that's one of the things that they've set themselves up with is this depth, and maybe you don't have to go out and pay that high price to go out and get a guy before the rosters expand. If Adam Duvall plays consistently, is he going to look like the guy who had back-to-back 30 home run seasons in Cincinnati? I think that's, you know, kind of where you have to look right now. He was not that player in a bench role, but if Markakis is going to miss substantial time, does he get that much more of an opportunity? I think there's certainly a lot on the table for Anthopoulos and his guys leading into Wednesday.
You talk about that depth on the team. Is this an opportunity for Austin Riley maybe to get some more playing time and right a little bit of the lull that he's been in?
Yeah, I mean, I think that could work too. I think they've got to figure out, you know, what they have in some of these additional guys, though, that they've got. Matt Joyce, can he handle a workload? We've seen great production out of him in small sample sizes. I go back to Duvall a lot because, you know, talking to him in spring training, he just said, I just couldn't get into a rhythm, being a part-time player. And you've seen what he's been able to do playing every day in Gwinnett. Think about it from the end of, you know, the pitching end. With Fulton Nevich, you know, Gausman's back, you could get that same thing, you know, with Adam Duvall if he's able to recapture what he did in a Reds uniform without you having to go out and pay a substantial price in the trade market. So it's a weird monster right now because the single trade deadline without that waiver wire deal at the end of August, and so many teams are in the wild card mix, who's going to be willing to deal? What? How much depth are they willing to kind of scrape off? There's a lot going into Wednesday, and I think it's set itself up to be something entirely different than we thought it was with just that single trade deadline.
Spending time on the waitfor.com outline this morning. We got Corey McCartney joining us, part of the crew, Braves coverage from Fox Sports South. All right, we're going to start Max Fried today. What are you expecting? He's back. We know what he's done early in the season. And how closely do we watch? And could he be limited in how much he pitches today?
That's a good question. You know, he said yesterday that, you know, they're hoping to get some little bit more of a callus around that blister. It's interesting that the last two these starts in Milwaukee have been what has caused him these issues with these blisters in the past. I think you have to hope that he's going to be able to recapture what he did early in the season, because I think he's a big piece for them when you start thinking about that playoff roster and then the playoff rotation. And, you know, the breaking pitches for him are obviously, you know, where he makes his bread and butter, but he's got to be able to command and control that fastball to set him up. How much is that blister going to affect him when he's throwing those secondary pitches? I wouldn't be surprised if things start to go awry, if maybe they, you know, are a little bit quicker with him, with the hook than maybe they would have been just because of the blister issue. But this is a big start for him because I think he has to continue to show that he can look a little bit more like the Max Fried that we saw early in the season.
Listen, no deal or big deal. Dansby Swanson with this heel situation. He was out again last night with the sore heel. Nothing to worry about, just kind of resting him, or is this something that could linger for a while?
It feels like, at this point, like it could linger. You know, the comments from Brian Snicker yesterday, you know, made you feel like they're a little bit more concerned than just it being some, you know, surface-level thing. So we'll find out today. If he ends up going into the DL, you know, it could just be a precautionary thing. But, again, we're testing depth when you then potentially lose a Nick Markakis, you know, for an extended period of time. So Johan Camargo, we know, can step in there. We know how good he is in those middle spots and in the infield. So this is going to be big to me because, you know, we're seeing a career year out of Dansby Swanson. And last year, you think about the wrist issue that he had. He just wasn't the same player since getting hit up there in Chicago early in the season. So this is a big blow for him just because of the year that he's having. And, you know, this team has been so lucky and avoided injury by and large throughout this season. So for him to kind of come in bunches like this, it could be pretty big.
Corey, this is the last week in July. The calendar will turn to August next Thursday. Does that make this stretch of games on the road right now a little more crucial? I know people say there's still a lot of baseball to be played, and you're going to see these guys again, but it's Philadelphia, and then you got to go to Washington, and you know what you're going to face there with their strong pitching and the way those guys have been playing.
That, yes, and, you know, as much as we all want to kind of focus on this being, you know, a big – stretch for this Braves team. I mean, they obviously are trying to play the next game, you know, next, you know, whatever cliche that you want to throw into this. But this does feel big just from the end that the Nationals have been one of the best teams, if not the best team in baseball, for a stretch here. And, you know, you're finally going to see Max Scherzer on Tuesday next week when they face the Nationals. They have avoided him all season long. And you think about the troubles that they've had with him. You're going to go Patrick Corbin, Max Scherzer, and then a familiar face, Aníbal Sanchez, in that series. So it feels big because they have them so much in September as well. I'm talking about the Nationals will face the Phillies a number of times there too. But it feels like this division is so far from over at this point. And, you know, one of these teams is going to make a substantial move. The Nationals have been talked about. I mentioned Castellanos for the Tigers. He's been mentioned as a potential landing spot with D.C. And they go out and strengthen their bullpen. So the fact that that series is coming after during the trade deadline, basically, this is going to be a big one because it's going to be, a tone setter for this division for the remainder of the season.
Yeah, Castellanos is going to land somewhere. He's already bad-mouthing Comerica Park.
Really?
Talking about the home runs he's lost there. And by the way, I hear that in the house too. You know, I'm just curious about something because Ken and I were talking about this. I wanted the Braves to make a run at, and I don't know if they have or haven't, but Madison Baumgartner. I love that dude, especially when he was getting it done a few years back and the fall off from the accident and all of that. Now, if you're the Giants, you know, he's been on the trading block or suspected to be throughout the second half of the season, but now these guys are back in the wild card race. Do you hold on to him, or do you still try to get rid of him and get some picks?
I would get rid of him because, and he should want to get dealt because, let's not forget, he's going to be a free agent. He's going to get a qualifying offer. And then we saw with Dallas Keuchel and Craig Kimbrell how much that changes, you know, how much teams are willing to pay for you in the offseason. So if I was him, I would want to get dealt. It makes a ton of sense from the Braves' perspective, from Farhan Zaidi, who took over for them, is a close friend of Alex Anthopoulos from their time together with the Dodgers. It's just from the Braves' end, do you want a rental? How high of a price are you willing to pay for a rental? And is he really the guy that puts you over the top? I mean, we've seen him be one of the best postseason pitchers in history. But is he the guy that really puts his team over at this point? I don't really know if right now, unless you're able to get a Noah Syndergaard, which I think would be an insane deal for the Mets to do with a team in division. I don't know if there's really a guy that you feel like is going to completely change the tenor of your team during this deadline. But I think he needs to get dealt somewhere, and I think it's a little bit misguided for the Giants to feel like this run changes anything because this is not a team that's built for the future, and they need to get on board with that. And this is definitely one of the ways to do it, by trading a guy who's been a franchise icon for you.
Yeah, we'll see if that happens as the trade deadline approaches and see what moves the Braves may make. Corey McCartney, we thank you so much for spending some time with us early on this Saturday morning. Let's see if the Braves can get another win in Philadelphia this evening.
I appreciate it, guys.
Thanks, Corey.
All right, this is Corey McCartney. You can follow him, by the way. He is social. You can follow him on – well, he is.
Colloquialisms.
He's on Twitter, at Corey J. McCartney, all lowercase.
I was something I was going to ask you that you just kind of like knocked it right out of my head.
Why?
I don't know, because just, you know, I'm happy to be back. It had something to do with the Olympics, and we were talking about that earlier, and of course the anniversary of the bomb going off. But that being said, we have got to talk about some events going on today, some games going on. You said it. It's a game day Saturday.
Is that?
Let's talk about that, and also what's going on up at Flowery Branch, because we're going to be broadcasting live from out there. Sam and Greg, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com.
Like that. You know what that guy does? He just hits.
Knocks the snot out of people.
KZ, man. Always great to hear him, yo. You know when he's out there on the field, what he comes to do. Sports Radio 929 The Game and 929TheGame.com. We're less than an hour away from the gates opening at Flowery Branch.
Yep.
Training camp. You go up, and of course, we'll be broadcasting live.
John Fricke, Hugh Douglas will be out there broadcasting live. Coming up, though, top of the hour, we got Sports Insiders. Both of the boys are in the house.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Dan Kamala and James Bond?
We've got M and 007. We've got them both here.
Got them both there.
Yeah. By the way, a public service.
Yes.
For those listeners out there heading toward the connector or dealing with it right now. If you're on it, you already know what we're talking about. Dan Kamala came in here and said just north of 10th Street, on the southbound side of the connector, lanes are shut down. Really? Because of an accident.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
So if you can avoid that, do so. He was just coming in here and he said the interstate is shut down right there north of 10th Street.
On the southbound side.
And if it's open now, y'all can yell at Dan Kamala later on. But that's what he just
said. That's what he said. Okay.
He just came in here and told us that, and that's what we do.
Okay.
We provide a little public service announcement. He also tagged me. So this whole thing that I've been on about, you know, somebody following a legend is blowing up in my face.
Yeah, man, there's some people who pulled it
but
off.
But not many. I thought there was only one. You don't want to be, you know, the phrase is you don't want to be the guy who follows the guy. You don't want to be, who wants to be the quarterback of the Patriots next?
I don't know.
You know what I'm saying?
Job pays well. I'm just saying, somebody will say, yeah.
Actually, it doesn't really, because he's taking pay cut after pay cut because he wants to have people around him. But more importantly, his wife makes 8 times more than him.
You know,
but who wants to be that dude?
Yeah,
who follows him? So I said the only person I can think of that has had that success, and I mentioned Steve Young, following Joe Montana.
Right,
had this conversation with Pops if you're just tuning in, and he wasted no time in reminding me that there was a guy named Mickey Mantle who followed Joe DiMaggio.
There you go.
Dan Kamal walks in here and goes, "Yeah, I heard what you were saying. You forget about Carl Yastrzemski? He followed a guy named Ted Williams." So I'm not having much luck with this today.
Wow.
By the way, Ouch. Who is the man who followed the man who had success?
There you go.
We'll just do it that way. Again, we're going to be out at Flowery Branch, meaning 92.9 The Game is going to be out broadcasting live at Flowery Branch. We're going to be out there every opportunity we can during training camp. If you get out there and you do this before I do it, because this is the first thing I'm going to do when we see our friend, regular contributor to our show, one D. Orlando Ledbetter.
Yes.
Who, I say that because he's going to be joining Dan and Dr. Dale this morning.
Okay, right? Okay.
So D. Orlando Ledbetter will be bringing his Falcons expertise and opinions to Sports Insiders. But when you see him, he needs to put us on his Bowtie Chronicles. How come we have been invited on his podcast?
You know that? He hasn't invited us, has he?
No, he ain't.
We got to do that, man, because he was out there first day of camp, man. He had his hat on and everything. He was, first day of camp, he has to do it right.
Ken says he's big-timing us.
Yeah. Oh, ooh.
That's what he says.
Would D-Led do that? Would he do that?
Yeah, I'm just saying, you know.
But that's happening today. Also, down in town in the city, BB&T Atlanta opened at a semifinal Saturday over at Atlantic Station. We want to get over and catch some of the competition. Look like we're on our way to an All-American final, possibly. We got some American doubles teams. Jack Sock will be playing at 12 noon with Jackson Withrow there in the doubles semifinal. And after that will be the men's single, Riley Opelka against Alex de Minaur. And then in the evening session, Cam Norrie against Taylor Fritz, American player there. And the Bryan brothers, Mike and Bob Bryan, will be playing Under the Lights. That's at Atlantic Station today. Stock cars are Pocono today, truck race today, qualifying for Cup. Cup drives tomorrow. Xfinity Series is in Iowa. Somebody got to go to Iowa. They're in Iowa today. WNBA All-Star Weekend. They are in Las Vegas, and local product has done well. Diamond DeShields, who plays for Chicago Sky, won the skills competition last night. So congratulations to Diamond. Shout out to the folks over at Norcross High School. She's a local product.
We were just looking at something up here, and they were showing the gifts that were being given to Bruce Bochy.
Yes.
He's one of those, again, forgot about him, kind of managers.
Mm-hmm.
He's in that, we talk about the players that fall into that category, but I think Bochy is in that, he's in that same kind of room with Cito Gaston.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And especially Cito did it twice. He got two rings, both in Toronto, though. Tom Flores is in that room. People forget about Tom Flores. My question is this. Bochy, best California manager? Does he make you forget about Tommy Lasorda?
Nah.
He got more rings than him.
Yes, you don't forget Lasorda.
I ain't say forget, but he did more accomplished.
Oh, he's good. Okay, well, great. But, he's not Tommy Lasorda. And he's one of those guys who goes into the Hall of Fame, not just what he did on the field, but what he did off the field.
Yeah.
He was the greatest ambassador baseball's ever known.
Got a gold medal.
Gold medal.
But he doesn't get one.
Yeah.
The managers of those baseball teams.
But you can imagine, he was so proud of that.
Yeah, he was.
He was so proud of that.
We have also been talking about what's going on over at Centennial Olympic Park. If you see a commotion going on and them doing some things that make it look like, what are they trying to, what's going on over there? Well, that's all due to Clint Eastwood and the production that is doing Richard Jewell. They are shooting over there, and they are recreating the night the bomb exploded. Today's the anniversary.
Yeah.
We've been asking for stories. Where were you when the bomb went off? I'm going to take this a different direction. And I saw this, and it was reason to pause. Do you know in 93, NBC, your old network, they spent $450 million to broadcast the Olympics 3 years later. So in 93, they won the bid to broadcast the 96 Olympics. They paid basically the equivalent of Mike Trout's contract.
Wow. You think about it that way.
Chew that around for a minute.
Yeah.
That network paid to broadcast the Olympics what Mike Trout is getting for the most part, in the totality of his contract.
By the way, folks, today is the 27th, and you think of a sports number 27. Why not Mike Trout?
Well, why not? Yeah. I can't think of no other. What was Fred
McGriff? That's some other ones. The 27, Eddie George.
Okay. I asked you, what was Fred McGriff's number?
Was it 27? Maybe it was 27.
I think it was 27. Mm-hmm. I was going to say Glavin, but I forgot. He was 47.
47.
I knew there was a 7 in there someplace. Coming up top of the hour, you got Dan Kamal and Dr. Dale Yake, Sports Insiders. And again, they're going to be joined by D. Orlando Ledbetter, followed by John Fricke, And I'm sure he will get into what happened with his wife's purse. He might have already.
No,
he's
probably
I just didn't
already
hear him.
Dealt with that.
I would hope I won't so. Say her purse, her bag. They were killing him. They were killing him. Andy and Randy were killing John Fricke as I was leaving town, driving out of town, and he had left that bag at the broadcast location.
Man.
And they were just having all kinds of fun. But that's the kind of thing you want to see. You want to see us having fun. Everybody's getting ready for Thursday night. And my question to you is, we're going to talk a little bit about this tomorrow, but what are you expecting to see? It's the Hall of Fame game.
Yeah.
You know, it's I, you know, I am looking to see somebody perform. Devin Gray.
Okay.
I want to see him out there because we are on the cusp of having a relationship with him that we didn't have before. And we're going to do it through his daddy. We're going to do it through Michael Gray, who I found out was I won't say great player, but he was a player at Cincinnati.
Mm-hmm.
And couldn't be prouder of his son coming in here for a couple preseason. I think he's coming in for the second preseason game, which I think is the he's coming in for the second one is the Jets. Denver doesn't really count. That's the Hall of Fame game, so he'll be in for the Jets game. We're going to try and get him here on the station and build a relationship with him and get that behind the scenes stuff about his career, but also his son's.
Yeah.
All right. I mentioned a minute ago about the activities going on at Centennial Olympic Park. If you would like to be a part of them, stick around. I'm going to tell you how you can be an extra in the scenes that are being shot out there. Well, I'll just put it this way. Your chance to work with Clint Eastwood. How about that? That's up next. Sam and Greg, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.